Hi everyone, welcome back again to Logical Bible Study, where we take a really logical, systematic, academic approach to the text of Scripture. We're trying to help you understand the literal sense of Scripture. And we go through verse by verse. Every single day, there's a new podcast where we look at a text from the Gospel. We're moving through the Gospel of Matthew at the moment, so if you went to Mass today, you would hear this really fascinating passage from Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And this is about the purpose of parables. So here's today's text. The disciples went up to Jesus and asked, "Why do you talk to them in parables?" "Because," he replied, "the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are revealed to you, but they are not revealed to them. For anyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The reason I talk to them in parables is that they look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. So in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. See and see again, but not perceive. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, for fear that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed by me. But happy are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. I tell you solemnly, many prophets and holy men longed to see what you see and never saw it, to hear what you hear and never heard it." So, we're in Matthew chapter 13, and that's often considered to be the parables chapter in Matthew. So, here Matthew has assembled seven parables that Jesus has spoken at different occasions on his ministry, it would seem, but Matthew has grouped them all together in the same chapter because they all cover similar themes, and they're all parables about the kingdom. And in today's passage, by now, Jesus has already spoken a couple of parables, and his disciples are a bit confused about why Jesus keeps speaking parables rather than just coming out and telling things straight, just talking straight to the crowds. So the disciples went up to Jesus. Notice this is a private conversation between Jesus and his disciples. What we're about to hear is a privileged conversation between Jesus and his disciples. The crowds did not get to hear this. But of course, because Matthew himself is one of the apostles, he was here for this private conversation. Why does Jesus tell the crowds one thing but then give more information to the disciples? It's probably because he wants to make sure that his disciples, and in particular, his apostles, really understand what he's saying, because he knows that they're going to be the leaders of the church after he's gone. So they are going to have to transmit his teachings and administer the sacraments. So Jesus wants to make sure that the apostles really understand these mysteries. And the focus of the discussion here is about parables. So what's a parable? Well, in Jesus' culture, a parable was basically an extended metaphor that was used for teaching purposes. Now, they're actually used a lot in the Old Testament. Sometimes we think that Jesus invented parables or something, but they're actually used a lot in the Old Testament. And the word parable in the Old Testament can cover things like sayings, riddles, and proverbs. So most of, for example, books like Proverbs or Sirach, it's basically a whole lot of short parables. Now, a really good example of an Old Testament parable that we're familiar with is when the prophet Nathan approaches David and tells him the story of the rich man who stole the poor man's lamb. And remember the famous scene when Nathan says to David, "That man is you." So that's in 2 Samuel 12. Well, that short story that he tells David is in fact a parable. So these parables are designed to illustrate a truth about God or about morality by making a comparison to some sort of real life situation. And in the time of Jesus, it was quite common for rabbis to use parables when they preached because they want to teach their audience about God. And sometimes it's easier to do that by using a parable. Now, about one third of Jesus' teaching consists of parables, and as we'll see, he uses parables in quite an interesting way. He deliberately uses parables when he could say things more plainly, and we'll see why that is. Most of the parables that he speaks, particularly the ones in chapter 13, they depict various responses that people make to Jesus and the message of the kingdom, and so they serve as a guide for faithful discipleship and a warning to those who reject him. And we're going to see in Matthew 13 that the parables often veil deeper mysteries of the kingdom from those who reject the kingdom, so they won't understand the parables, whereas those who are open to the kingdom will understand the parables. So the question they come to Jesus and ask is, why do you talk to them in parables? So they want to know why he doesn't just come right out and say what he wants to teach about God. Jesus is going to use a word here, which our translation calls secret, but that can be translated mystery. And in the New Testament, a mystery is something that can only be made known to man by God's revelation. It's something we can't come to on our own. In the Gospels, that word mystery only appears here, in this particular scene. So here's Jesus' response to the question. Because the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are revealed to you. Or more literally there, it says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So the teaching here is that those who are open to the kingdom of God, the message that Jesus has come to present, they will understand the meaning of the parables because they're open to understanding it. They're open to God's grace. And of course, that applies to most of his inner circle here. And in particular, they get to see the fullness of the kingdom because they get to be present with Jesus, who is the very embodiment of the kingdom. But then Jesus goes on, but the mysteries are not revealed to them. Or, but to them it has not been given. Now, the them he's talking about is the crowd in general. And Mark's version calls this group, the crowd, those who are outside. So Jesus here is talking about people who are not in the kingdom of God. Notice the teaching here. Those who are not in the kingdom of God and who are not seeking the kingdom of God, they are not going to understand the meaning of the parables. So Jesus here teaches that the reason he speaks in parables is so that those who are open to God will understand them, and those who are not open to God will not understand them. So every parable is carefully crafted to fulfill that purpose. Now, this kind of contradicts what we often hear about parables. You might have heard at school that Jesus speaks in parables to make things clearer. That's only half true. He speaks in parables to both make things clearer and make things more unclear, actually, depending on the audience. So they're very cleverly constructed stories. Verse 12, for anyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. Or what it actually says there is, for anyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. And then Jesus says, but from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, Jesus uses this phrase several times in his ministry in different contexts. The basic meaning of this is, to the one who has genuine faith and draws closer to God and follows Jesus, more grace will be given and they will be drawn even further into the kingdom. Whereas to the one who does not use his faith or does not will to draw closer to God, his gifts of grace that he does have will be taken away. Now, that's clearly Catholic teaching as well. The grace we're given, if we cooperate with it, we're given more grace. But if we don't cooperate with the grace we're given, well, the grace we have is taken away. So it's actually a very Catholic teaching here, and one that probably needs more attention given the number of times Jesus says it in the Gospels. Now, there is an alternative interpretation of this, which is that when Jesus is speaking here, he's talking about the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. To those well-disposed Jews who have made good use of God's revelation in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, then they will have access to the perfection of the New Covenant. On the other hand, for those who have rejected God's advances provided in the Old Covenant, then they will have even that taken away because soon the Old Covenant would no longer exist. So I just put that out there as an alternative interpretation, which says that what Jesus is referring to here is covenants rather than God's grace in general. But I think it's more appropriate to think that Jesus is speaking of cooperation with God's grace in general. So Jesus' implication here is that he's teaching in parables because he wants to deliver the information in such a way so that not everyone will perceive their meaning, only some will. Only those who are worthy, so that's those who are open to God's work, will be able to reflect on the parables and perceive their meaning. Those who are not open to God's kingdom, they will hear the parables but not be able to understand them. So we can say the parables both conceal and reveal the mystery of the kingdom, depending on the disposition of the hearer. Now, that might be controversial because we sometimes taught that Jesus doesn't show favoritism or doesn't give special privileged information to certain people. And in a sense, we can say that that's true. But in terms of his parables, he is deliberately crafting them in such a way that not everyone will understand, that only some people will understand them. That's what Jesus himself says about his own parables. Verse 13, so Jesus now restates it another way. The reason I talk to them in parables is that they look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. So Jesus here teaches that many hear and see him, but they still refuse to actually listen to his words and follow him, so they don't put their words into practice. This is a common theme in Matthew. If you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "He who acts on these words of mine is like the man who builds on rock, whereas the person who hears but does not put them into action is like building his house on sand." You remember that story. It's the same basic teaching. Jesus says that basically everyone in the crowd is hearing the same parable, but only those who are thinking about them, putting them into practice, will perceive their meaning and are really advancing in God's kingdom. Verse 14. So in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. What it actually says there is this prophecy of Isaiah is truly fulfilled. So in Jesus' view, himself speaking parables is a fulfillment of an Isaiah passage. And Matthew, once again, includes this because he wants his Jewish readers to know that Jesus is the Messiah. So as much as possible, Matthew includes all the different ways that Jesus fulfills messianic prophecies. So this prophecy that Jesus is about to quote himself is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. So here's what he quotes from. "You will listen and listen again, but not understand. See and see again, but not perceive. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, for fear that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed by me." So in context, God is speaking here to Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, but the situation in Isaiah's time is very, very similar to the situation in Jesus' time, so it's quite appropriate. So in the context of Isaiah chapter 6, God is telling Isaiah that his message of repentance that God is giving him to preach is going to be met with stubborn resistance. That's what God is telling Isaiah here. This nation has grown coarse, its ears are dull of hearing, so they're not going to accept your message of repentance. Note that in this passage, it's not God himself that blocks their hearts. The passage doesn't say that. It says that the nation themselves has blocked their own hearts. So in other words, the people themselves do this when they hear the message. They become more stubborn and they refuse to repent. Jesus is in a similar situation here. He's calling God's people, God's nation, to repent, but they refuse to. They're stubborn. And so he knows that many of them will not respond. So it's a very interesting correspondence between the two situations. Verse 16, Jesus now puts a positive spin on it. "But happy are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear." Now the word here for happy, most translations would say that's blessed. So it's a beatitude. The best understanding of this as to what it means to be blessed is it means something like fortunate. You are fortunate. So Jesus says his disciples have eyes and ears which are blessed or fortunate because the disciples have taken his message to heart and they have acted on it. So they truly see, they truly hear, and they truly understand. That's why their eyes and ears are blessed. Unlike the majority of the crowd, and in particular the Jewish leaders that he's been confronting. He finishes in verse 17, "I tell you solemnly, or truly, truly I say to you," which means he's about to say something very important, "many prophets and holy men long to see what you see and never saw it, to hear what you hear and never heard it." That's an interesting passage. So Jesus here says that many in the Old Testament wanted to receive God's fullest revelation and they longed for it. And now God's fullest revelation is here in the person of Jesus. And some of the people in Jesus' time are still rejecting it, even though it's God's fullest revelation. So that's how blessed Jesus' disciples are, and in fact, how blessed we are. We get access to the fullest revelation from God, and it's up to us as to how we respond to the message of the kingdom. Let's now turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is a summary of church teachings. Where do we hear echoes of Matthew chapter 13, or in fact, direct references to Matthew 13? Paragraph 787, there's a brief reference here to the disciples. It says, from the beginning, Jesus associated his disciples with his own life, revealed the mystery of the kingdom to them, and gave them a share in his mission, joy, and sufferings. And the paragraph goes on from there. And of course, that's a reference here to Matthew 13, where Jesus gives them the inside scoop on the parables. Paragraph 546, this is a really clear description of the purpose of parables. It says, Jesus' invitation to enter his kingdom comes in the form of parables, a characteristic feature of his teaching. Through his parables, he invites people to the feast of the kingdom. But he also asks for a radical choice. To gain the kingdom, one must give everything. Words are not enough, deeds are required. The parables are like mirrors for man. Will he be hard soil or good earth for the word? What use has he made of the talents he has received? Jesus and the presence of the kingdom in this world are secretly at the heart of the parables. One must enter the kingdom, that is, become a disciple of Christ, in order to know the secrets of the kingdom. For those who stay outside, everything remains enigmatic. So that's an excellent summary of exactly what we've been saying about the purpose of Jesus' parables. He does them in such a way that it makes man really reflect on himself, and those who act on the words will progress further in the kingdom and understand the parables, whereas those who don't cooperate with God's grace that he's trying to give them, and those who don't think about the message of the parable, are not truly going to understand it. So if you've liked what you've heard today and you think others would benefit from digging into the text of Matthew, then please share this episode with them. Thanks so much. We'll continue tomorrow.